We're going to talk about faith tonight.
Okay.
Where do you think we might? What would be a good chapter?
Hebrews 11.
No.
Genesis 1.
No, we're going to go to the Mark 11. There you go, Mark 11.
Hagen
11. Although this week it's LaRue 11. I've been listening to some things that LaRue's been teaching, and sometimes you'll hear the same thing said just a little bit different, and it'll spark something in you. And this one aspect of faith, I like the way he said that. And I've never said it quite that way. I came close. I got to looking back in my own teachings, and about a year ago or so, I did a tape called The Mechanism of Dominion. And I remember, I touched on this then, the mechanism of dominion. God, there is a way to take dominion with your spirit. And I recommend that to you. It's in the archives of the website. You can go back and find it. But we're going to talk about believing you receive when you pray. Alright? Now see, the thing of it is, even though what we commonly call, or what many people call the Word of Faith movement, and I defend the Word of Faith movement, the real one, because it saved my life. And if it hadn't have been for what I learned there, in 1990, when I got attacked with terminal cancer in my body, I wouldn't even be here today. So you're not going to ever convince me that faith doesn't please God. Faith does please God. Now, the movement kind of got hijacked over into the prosperity arena, and it's real easy to do that. And not that God doesn't want us to prosper either. See, that's the thing. That's what makes it so easy to counterfeit, because God does want you. I mean, 3 John verse 2 is in your Bible. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But it's the balance of these things. But now tonight, I specifically, in the aspect of faith, 101, if you'll allow me, I want to specifically talk about the part that says you believe, you receive when you pray. So let's look it up here. Mark 11, 20. Let's just read it all, starting in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that is more on the exercising dominion by the speaking of authority. What had happened there, he had cursed the fig tree the day before. And, no man eat fruit of thee again forever. Nothing happened at that moment, and they just went on their way. Next day as they're coming by, that same fig tree had dried up from the roots. Well, what caused that to happen? Well, that's the Holy Ghost. He's the molecule changer. He acted on the words that Jesus spoke in faith, and it affected the natural realm. This next year, we're going to be all about that. I'm telling you now. We're going to be all about that, taking dominion over the works of the enemy, just like Acts 10:38, going about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, for God is with us. Well, God, the Holy Ghost, is with us. And it's about time for the church to step up and quit playing church and walk in the dominion that he's really given us. But now the second half of this, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now I'm going to go ahead and read these next two verses, because too often we leave them out, and this isn't really the crux of the message tonight, but this is vitally important. Verse 25 and 26. See, when somebody's telling you something, and they use the word "and," does that imply to you that they're finished? No. And, you know, if I say, I want to give you my car, and the payments are just $400 a month, you needed to hang around for the "and," you see. Well, how many of you wants faith to work for you? And when you stand praying, forgive. I don't know why my prayers don't ever work. Brother Gary, I need counseling. I pray, I believed I received when I prayed, I confessed till my lips rolled off on the floor, but it don't happen, Brother Gary. Well, what are you praying about? That my lawsuit would be successful? Well, I'm not saying there's never an occasion to sue, but, you know, if you're sitting there full of strife and unforgiveness, and your faith is not going to work very well. And the kingdom of God is all about people. It's all about forgiveness. Jesus has already paid the price for whatever that person did to you anyhow. You're not going to get very many prayers answered if you are a person that is continually in unforgiveness, strife, and bitterness. Got that? So let's finish reading it. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. All right? Now, that's not the crux. We have lots of messages on forgiveness. I told you again, I recently got a wake-up call. I thought I had pretty well purged my heart of all bitterness and unforgiveness to the point that I've taken communion so many times and I'd searched my heart, I really couldn't find anything. You know, I hardly even go back and take communion anymore. I said, well, I don't think I've got any unforgiveness. And I really, as far as I knew, didn't. So then circumstances happen where the same guy who, I'm going to use this phrase, poked me with a stick about 20 years ago. Something really bad. He's probably hurt me as much as any man on earth. I hadn't seen the guy in 20 years. Suddenly he shows up in my life again and pokes me again. And you know what I found out? I found out I didn't love him. I found out I didn't even care if he went to heaven or not. So guess what God did? He says, well, what are you going to do now, boy? If you don't forgive. So now I had to start. I actually have to spend time. I'm not getting on my knees and going into deep intercession. But every time I think of the guy, the Lord has instructed me. I need to say a few words of prayer. Lord, I want you to bless him. I forgive him, Lord. Father, I don't want anything bad to happen to him. Father, I pray that you guide him and bring him to heaven when his life is through and all those kind of things, you know. Do you mean it? Sort of. It's not as bad as that other time, you know. It's not as bad as that one. But anyhow, so he's got me working on it, and I can already feel a change in my heart, and so it's going to be okay. But anyway, okay, we've covered the unforgiveness. What I want to zero in on tonight is verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray. Now, first off, a lot of people are expecting and hoping and wishing and would like for stuff to happen, but they don't ever specifically pray. Now, there's many kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of intercession. This one is specifically what we call petitional prayer, or you might call it the prayer of faith. This is where there is a situation. You make a prayer when you pray. If I ask you, well, when did you pray? Oh, I don't know. Now, you may not remember it, but I mean, there needs to be a date and a time where you prayed. You prayed about this. You asked for the answer. I used to carry, I don't do it as well now, I may get back to it on some things. For years, I trained myself by carrying a ring binder. And I would make specific petitional prayers, I would write it out on I just had loose leaf paper in there. I'd write it out. I would date it. I would sign it. It was a point of contact for me. This is when I prayed. Now, when you pray, so first off, that makes it a specific prayer. People are all the time in the line, you know, they'll ask me, I say, well, what do you need? Well, I need finances. Well, my question always is, how much? Oh, I don't know. I said, well, is that the way you'd go to a banker? I need some money, please. Well, how much do you need? I don't know. You know, yeah, just vague, you know. This is petitional prayer. Treat your Father like he's real. Treat your Father. I used to manage managed an engineering division or section down at Union Carbide years ago, and I had a supervisor over me. And we had to prepare quarterly budgets. And so my job was to, you know, put in there what we needed. That was the way we did petition. We need a new calculator. We need a new desk. We need a new whatever. And, buddy, they wanted it specific. What do you need? Well, I feel like, I'd have to prepare that for my supervisor. Shouldn't I treat God at least as real as that? Write it out. What do you need? Be specific about it. Well, I need 2,000 by Friday. Write it out. What is it? You know? And then we could go over to James now, because there's really two reasons why people don't get what they want. One is, you have not. A lot of people think they prayed and they didn't really pray. They never did really do it. They never formally made the petition. It's kind of a wish, a hope, a desire in them, but they have not, because you ask not. Then the other one is, or you ask, but you don't receive. Why? Because you ask amiss, wanting to consume it on your own lust. I've actually, now, not many times in my life of ministry, but I've actually had more than once a person ask me to pray that God would give him another man's wife. Now, I mean, that's really, really happened twice that I know of. I mean, specifically in my lifetime. And they were serious. They thought God would do this. And they had all their justification and all their reasons why. And I'm going, you know, that's kind of the epitome, you know. Talk about consuming it on your own lust. I mean, you know, that's kind of the definition, okay? But it could be similar, you know. And it's not exactly like God won't give you toys. I mean, you know, like, well, I need a car. Well, why do you need a car? Well, mine's falling apart, you know. He might give you, especially if you're new in these things, I want a red Mustang car, you know. Well, okay, he might give you that. But probably what he won't give you is a different color Mustang for every day of the week. Unless there was some reason, some kingdom reason for that, which I can't imagine what it would be. So, but as long as your desire here, it's your desire. First off, I'll just tell you this right now. If it's not your desire, forget it. Now, this is a difference between the prayer of petition and intercessory prayer. This won't work unless it's a desire truly of your heart. Intercession, the rules of engagement, can I say it that way? Daisy could teach you more about this, and others could teach you more about this than me. I know more about the petitional prayer than I do intercessory prayer. But intercessory prayer is basically where you make intercession for somebody else. You're trying to receive something for them. Okay? This is something you are receiving normally for yourself. Now, there is a time where you can do a petitional prayer for somebody else. We'll get into that. But I'm mainly talking tonight. You need something. You've got a petitional prayer. First off, it says when you pray. So I want you all to start getting in the habit, whatever works for you. I know Jesus himself did not walk around with a 3-ring binder. See, I know he did not do that. But how many of you know, now we're being transformed to his image. How many of you know most of us have got a ways to go? So it'd be good for you to have a point of contact. I recommend something, either, hold up that book right there, Kim, just something like that would work fine. It doesn't have to be a 3-ring binder, but you need something. What you can write it on, date it, sign it. This is when I prayed. Then be specific. Like you were going to a manager, a supervisor, at a where you work. I'm thinking of this story I heard from, read in Yanji Cho's book from years and years ago. I don't know how many of you ever read that book, The Fourth Dimension. Changed my life for the better. But he went to God and he wanted, I can't remember, he was three things I remember.
A bike.
One of them was a bike, and he wanted a certain kind of a chair and a desk. That's it. And so, I want a bike, a desk, and a chair. And God comes back to him and says, well, what kind of bike?
Which color?
Yeah, which color? He says, well, I want, I think it was a Schwinn. A what? An American-made bike, the good kind, you know. And I want a certain kind of desk. Oh, and I want my chair to have rollers on it so I can roll around and feel like a big shot. I think that's in there, worded about like that. He had to get specific with God. God wanted him to be specific. Part of the reason for that, it's not God really. It's just that God knows how faith works. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You need an image on the inside of you that is so real, you can see it, you can almost touch it, but it's got to be something so real that you can see it on the inside before you see it on the outside. Can I say it that way? One of the early things that Sue and I used this on was and we're talking way back. We got saved in 1980, and this was probably 1981 late or 82 early. And we needed a vehicle, and we were learning these principles, and we needed a van, because at the time the kids were little, and we were hauling everybody everywhere, and loading it with them and all their friends and all their equipment, you know, school stuff and everything. So we needed a van. So I went through this same process. And God starts dealing with me. Well, what kind of van? So I think I had read Yonji Cho's book, and no telling what all at that time. Anyway, so Sue and I got together. I can still tell you today. We said, well, we want a Beauville. We went and saw what kind of vans. We want a Chevy. We want a Beauville. That was the kind that had the windows all the way around. I wanted to be able to see. Oh, and we want it two-tone color. And we want air conditioning in the front and the back. Because I'd been in vans that were hot in the back. And I wanted air conditioning in the front and the back. And we wanted it used. But we wanted less than 40,000 miles on it, if I remember correctly. I hope I've got all these. This was a long time ago. And so we wrote that all out. Put our petition, dated the thing. And at the time, I was driving Lazarus. How many of y'all heard the stories about Lazarus? Yeah. It was an old pickup truck that I had that we named Lazarus because we raised it from the dead once. You ever seen those pickups out in Oklahoma sitting under a tree in the field or rusting away? That's Lazarus. We'd already put it out there to rust away. And because we were so desperate, we went and resurrected that thing. And that was it. Erin wouldn't let me drop her off at school in it. I had to drop her off two blocks away and let her walk. Even in the winter when it was snowy, she would not let me. It's too embarrassing to be driven to school in Lazarus, you know. So we would stand there and look at the empty spot in our driveway. Sue and I, we're learning how to do this. Father, it's so wonderful to have this Beauville Chevy van. Father, we just thank you so much that air conditioning works in the front and the back. Father, it's such a blessing. We believe we received it when we prayed on such and such date at such and such time. Father, we received it. Now, that's a part I want to talk about not tonight in detail here in just a minute. But this is, we would do it more than once a day, felt like complete idiots, felt foolish. We hadn't lived this way before. This was all new to us. Long story short, I could take up the whole hour with how God caused this to happen. But the way it turned out, we wound up getting that van. I had described it so much in my mind that I was driving down 11th Street and I saw it. I saw it in a parking lot. You know what, those days, I don't know if they still, but on 11th Street used to was all the used cars. I guess it's still there. I was driving down 11th Street on some other reason. I went, there's my van. And I turned around and come back, and the guy with me, riding with me at the time, said, I don't think that van's even for sale. Look how dirty it is. It looked like it'd just been driven a lot. I said, I'm going to pull in there anyway. And the guy says, oh, yeah, it's for sale. We just brought it up from Oklahoma City. We hadn't even had a chance to wash it yet. I was the first person to even see it. We bought the van. That thing served us for years. And it had 39,000 some odd miles on it. I mean, you know, if it had 51, I wouldn't have messed with it. Because it wasn't what we prayed. Now, this part here. I could go on with, our ministry has basically functioned that way this whole time. You notice we don't ever have, what do they call them, telethons. You know, we don't have Pledge Week. We don't have Make a Vow. We don't have, you know, Sow a Seed to Meet Your Need time. We don't have any of that because that's not the way, you know, it works anyway. But we have learned to petition our Father. Jesus said, we could go there in John, he says, what things soever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it unto you. Now, that in my name has more than just a rubber stamp. In my name means you're seeking the kingdom, you're spending time in prayer, you're finding out what his plan for your life is, and as you go forward to do that, you're going to need some things. As we have done that, we have needed, in the early days, cassette duplicators. We needed postage machines. We needed computers. We've needed all kinds of things. That is exactly how we get them. I write it out. I'm as specific as I know how. I get the staff together. We pray. We believe. We receive. We don't tell anybody else about it at all. And either the thing itself or the money always comes. Always has. All right. You still in verse 24? This is one of my favorite subjects anyway. I have to be careful here. We could go on for hours and hours. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, now here's the phrase for tonight, believe that you receive them, Then after that, you shall have them. You got that? But when you pray, you believe that you receive them. Once you've done that, then you shall have them. The way LaRue's been teaching this, and I really like the way he phrased it. See, there is a kingdom within each one of us. Jesus said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. You got that? You know the Bible calls us kings and priests. As a king, do you know you have a domain? You have dominion in your family. You have dominion on your job. You have dominion in areas of your life. You also have dominion wherever He sends you. If He sends you on a mission, you have dominion in certain areas. Now, you don't normally have dominion over other humans. That's called witchcraft. Okay? But you have dominion over these principalities and powers and wicked spirits in the heavenlies. There is a kingdom. So, the way LaRue's been saying this, he says, all right, there's a material need. There's something in the material realm. Could be anything. Could be a Beauville van. But we're talking a real thing, a problem of some kind, something in the material realm. Now, prayer is done in the spiritual realm. So you're going to the Father in the spiritual realm about a problem that exists in the material realm. First, you're exercising, in a way, your priestly office. See, you're also a priest. So when you do the praying, really, you're coming based on the blood of Jesus anyway, or else you're not going to get it anyhow. You're coming based on His perfectness anyhow. So there's a priestly aspect to prayer. But when the Father answers that, when it says, believe that you receive them, where do you receive it? In a way, it changes jurisdiction. He answers that first in your spirit. It's like the jurisdiction changes from the material realm to your kingdom realm in the realm of the spirit. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly or not. First, you have to receive it on the inside and understand He has transferred dominion now to your kingship. You have received this in your invisible kingdom. Can I use it that way? It's yours. Now, your job now is you receive it. Now, notice, receiving it is not when you see it. Receiving it is not when it's manifested. That's the shall have it. That's when shall have shows up. Okay. First, you have to receive, and then you shall have. But you got to really receive it. And that's why it says up here, and doubt not in your heart. See, that's the realm of the Spirit. Well, did He answer you or did He not answer you? And that's the big question. The devil... Yes, sir. Luke 18... Well, we're not... No. We just don't have time for that. I have a tape, or I have a CD, I have an MP3 called The Unjust Judge. Yeah. It's based on Luke 18. This little widow woman came to the judge. That widow woman represents your faith, or it represents your new nature, represents the Spirit. It's coming to this unjust judge. It needs a decision in its favor. Now, this judge, it says, doesn't regard God or man. And the reason it's an unjust judge? A just judge will only receive true evidence. But an unjust judge, it'll receive evidence from any source. Your soul is the unjust judge. And it makes no distinction between physical evidence and God's Word. Physical evidence is really facts. God's Word is truth. Well, you're the one that has to go to that unjust judge. You remember why the unjust judge finally granted the favor, granted the judgment for the widow? Why? Because she wearied Him. She just kept coming. She just kept coming. This has got a lot to do with confession. That has got a lot to do with holding this thing in your kingdom until you have it manifested in the earth. I will have what I say. I do not doubt in my heart. This mountain will move. I have what I say. On and on and on. It has everything to do with faith. But you wear your soul literally out. Because if you don't, let's just take pain. Let's take my back 2 years ago, 3 years ago, however long it was. Now, when you got pain constantly, y'all saw how I was walking. I was bent over like a 100-year-old man, you know. I mean, why you bent over? Because only in that position was it not so excruciating that I could walk. And it's constant. Even You know, when you sleep, you don't think about it, but as soon as you wake up, every movement all day, constantly, well, what's going on there? And it's that, I'm just using that example. Anybody else could use something else, you know. That pain is evidence that's being presented to the unjust judge 24/7, almost 24/7. That's a lot of evidence. And that unjust judge, it don't care. It's your soul, it'll say, yep, you're probably going to be in a wheelchair, you know. And Sue, bless her heart, told me, said, if you don't change what you're saying, Mark 11, 23, 24, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. From that day forward, I started presenting evidence to the unjust judge. I started going to the Word itself. I started quoting the Word. I wore my soul out. I wore it out. By His stripes I was healed. Lord, You bless my bread. You bless my water. You take sickness away from the midst of me. On and on and on. Every scripture. Then I would talk to the mountain. Just like it says there. I call my back normal. Back, You're strong. Pain, I rebuke You. Get out of my body. Now see, if I was already conformed fully to the image of Jesus, how many times would I have to do that? Once. I'm in a process somewhere of being transformed. I got to do it a lot. So what? That widow woman. I mean, why use a widow woman? They have almost no rights and they have no power. In almost any culture, no rights, no power, hardly at all. Yet she still got what she wanted, did she not? Why? And Jesus starts that off saying, am I going to find faith? Am I, you know, I want men to pray and not give up. In other words, you keep presenting it. Okay. Believe, you receive when you pray. You've got to understand that in that process right there, the answer comes to, God's answer does not come first in the material realm. That's where we keep missing it. What, He didn't answer by prayer? How do you know He didn't answer by prayer? Well, because I don't see the answer. If that's the way you operate, you're going to get very little answered prayer from God. It does not work that way. You pray, you believe that you receive. Let's say it another way. You believe He heard you, right? You believe He heard you. Then you believe because you know it's scriptural and you've been seeking the Lord and on and on and on. Then you say, well, then my confidence is if He heard me, then I have the petition that I desire of Him. So at that moment, when it says, believe, you receive when you pray, you're receiving it really into your kingdom. It's in your heart. Let me say it this way. It's in your domain as a king. It belongs to you now. Now, it has to be there. For some reason I don't totally understand, before it's manifested in the shall have. And the war is during that part where it's, some people use the analogy of a pregnant woman. I think that's pretty good. You've got it on the inside, but you can't see that baby on the outside yet. But that baby's there. The answer's there. You've got it. And the enemy's doing everything he can to get you to abort. Normally, what will happen, in line with whatever LaRue was telling about one he just did, they needed a $10,000, it was a $10,000 petition. And they needed a $10,000, you know, for the ministry thing, $10,000. Prayed, believed they received. On the way home from that meeting, from that prayer, if I remember right, on the way home, he got a phone call from his wife. The motor in her vehicle blew up. Okay? And he got a speeding ticket before he got back home. Or some kind of a ticket. Circumstances coming again. Now here you needed $10,000. And now your car's blowed up and you got a ticket. He didn't say how much the ticket was. That's real common. We've seen that time and again. He's trying to divert you. He's trying to get you discouraged. He's trying to make it look like anything but like you got answer to your prayer. You have to learn to almost laugh. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices and go, is that all you got? Don't you know I'm more mature than that? I'm not moved by what I see. I'm the one that has a kingship here. Amen. I'm the one that's been granted dominion here. I thank You that I have Father, I thank you that I have what I say, and I have received it. Mm-hmm. And devil, it don't matter what you do. I bind you in Jesus' name. We'll wind up with a better car. Amen. And we'll have more than enough money to pay that ticket. And whatever else you've got to go on. But I love this idea. I never saw it before, the way LaRue said it, that prayer is first answered in the domain of your kingdom. It's answered in the spirit first. It was a material problem. First, we transferred the jurisdiction and went to God in the spirit. But He is a spirit, and He answers in spirit. You got to receive that answer in the domain of your kingdom. The kingdom of God is in you. There is a kingdom. You have to hold it there. Call those things that be not as though they were. Almost like a pregnancy, letting that come to maturity, if I can say it that way. But what you have on the inside will manifest on the outside. If we could take you on a tour of our little ministry, you know, you would see multiple computers and printers and all kinds of equipment, desks, just file cabinets. Everything that we have, we got that way. Everything. We've never yet had a fundraiser drive. We've never yet... And I'm not against... it's not against the law to have bake sales or garage sales or something to raise money, but that's the natural way of doing things. I'm interested in doing things the supernatural way. Because Jesus didn't pay this price for us to operate like normal humans. We're not normal humans anymore. We are kings and priests in a kingdom that the world really can't see and knows nothing about. But we have been so brainwashed by religion, we don't know much about operating there either. But we're going to. Now, let's go to verse 23 for a minute. Let's back up one. Do you get that part? Where do you receive it? In your spirit. Who's going to try and take it from you? The devil. What's he going to use? Circumstances. And it's those circumstances, though, on the outside cause you to waver on the inside. Those circumstances on the outside, they're trying to create doubt. They're trying to create doubt. Like, okay, he didn't hear, hath God said, or in this case, hath God answered. All right, so let's back up to verse 23. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, where? In his heart, not in his mind. I'll tell you right now, I don't think I've ever had a faith project come to pass yet that I didn't have to fight doubts in my mind nearly the whole time. Those doubts will come as fast as machine gun bullets. You can almost hear the thoughts. I don't even think they're my thoughts. I think there's some kind of devil there shouting. You know, it's going, he didn't hear you, this didn't work, you haven't done this, you haven't been faithful, you haven't given enough, you haven't prayed. It's always works. You haven't this enough, that enough, whatever enough. You still like Krispy Kremes, this or whatever it is, you know. And doubts all the time, see. But it's your heart. And the real judge is what comes out of your mouth, because it is out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Now, you can pretty well judge where your heart is. Not always. But you can pretty well judge where your heart... What I mean by not always? Well, everyone can fake it for a while. Everyone can fake it for a while. See, and I've learned through hard discipline, you do have to fake it till you make it. You do have to fake it till you make it. There was nothing in me. When I was confessing my back was healed, if I was just going to go by how I felt, go by the circumstances, I'd probably already be in a wheelchair by now. See? Because that's everything seemed like that. So I'm calling those things on purpose that be not as though they were. And I have to do it for a while. And I'm faking it, if you want to use that. Do you feel like that's true? No! I feel like I'm going to die. I feel horrible. Are you kidding me? You have to fake it till you make it. See? I know that sounds terrible, but it's the truth. It's in spite of how you feel. And that's what's so hard about it for humans because we're so used to telling it like it is and calling things that are the way they are. If Abraham would have done that, you know, he'd have lasted about a day. I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of a multitude. I am the... He'd look over at her. I am the father of a multitude. He'd look at him. I am the father. And it wouldn't be any time. You know, the circumstances would beat him out of it. You have to, in the face of all contradictory circumstances, you have to say what God said, speak to that mountain, and I'm telling you, you can have all kinds of doubt in your head and still not doubt in your heart. There was something in me. From the time Sue told me that, she gave me that wake-up call. And I'm telling you now, it felt dead. It felt like there was no life in it. The enemy was still sending those machine gun bullets through my head a mile a minute. What I mean, not machine gun bullets, but thoughts like machine gun bullets. Big difference. And that was going on the whole time. But something in my heart, I've been through this too many times before. And I knew that if I would hang on to what God said, I'd be okay. So what happened? Did things change? Yeah, they got worse. They did for like the first week or two. They got worse. But eventually it began to turn around and began to turn around. And you can see the difference today. I mean, thank God. I never had any surgery or anything, you know. I did get some chiropractic help, but he could only help me so far, and it wasn't a whole lot. And he said, that's as far as I can bring you. The rest is between you and God. Well, how did God do? I'm doing pretty good, you know. Be 63 next month, still preaching and walking and doing good. Just a youngster, according to my mother. She still tells everybody, this is my young son. I say, you tell him, Mama, you tell him. That's right. This is verse 23. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. And the reason I finally get that, that's where the kingdom is. It's not really a mental exercise, people. It's a heart exercise. Let's say it another way. It's a spirit exercise. It is the dominion of your reborn kingly spirit. When God answers, He gives you dominion over that answer. He answers it in your heart. He answers it in your kingdom. You receive when you pray in your spirit, in your heart. And your job there, your job then is keep it there. Do not let the enemy steal it, and you will have what you say. You got that? Man, that's good stuff. Now, I'm prone to get you to start practicing. I remember, and this is okay, I remember Kenneth Copeland in the early days, he was wanting, well, how do I practice this? I'll never forget this story. It just stuck with me. And the Lord was telling him, well, start small. Start. You got to start somewhere. Don't start trying to believe in $1 million. Believe something. So I remember he says, well, I want to believe God for a pair of socks. Now, he could have went and bought the pair of socks with just a natural way. But he's wanting to start practicing and using his faith. So we're talking almost 30 years ago, I heard this story. But he was very specific. He knew what kind of socks that he liked. And he basically did this prayer. Long story short, he received it. Let me tell you one that I've got more personal knowledge of. A real good friend of mine, this was quite a few years ago now, I was teaching him these same things on a one-on-one basis, and we were talking. He says, well, I've never done anything like that. And I said, well, why don't you do that? Why don't you practice on something that you could easily go buy, because it was coming up Christmas time. And I said, why don't you ask the Father for something that you could go buy? It's just kind of something you don't have to have, but you'd like to have it. So he thought for me. I said, what is something that you'd like to have at Christmas? Or maybe, and I said, now you can't go telling people. Don't go telling people. It's just between you and God now. Because if you tell people, you negate the whole thing. And he says, well, I've been wanting a new money clip. You all know what a money clip is? A little metal gizmo? He says, I lost my money clip or something. He says, I need a money clip. It's no big deal. I can use this wallet. But he said, would that work? I said, that'll work. I said, now, what kind do you want? What? What kind do I want? Well, do you want a gold one? Or do you want a silver looking one, like steel? Well, anyway, he got real specific. This was in the ugly building days. I got a piece of paper out. I had him write it out. Put the date on it. Sign it. Take it. I said, put this in your pocket. And you take this out, and three times a day at least, you take it out and you thank God for it. We did the prayer right there. So I knew that he prayed. Best I knew, I could tell he believed. He received it. Chris, now he promised me he did not tell a soul. No earthly person knew. Now, that's what he told me. I hope it's true, because I'm telling this. That's what he told me. At Christmas time, he got three of them. Three of them. Three money clips. And he says, he didn't tell a soul. He was just, the day he come and showed me, he says, look at this. I said, well, God is exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. I don't know. You know, give the other ones away that you don't need, you know. Now, if it'll work on socks, and it'll work on money clips, and it'll work on Chevy Beauville vans, and I could, if it'll work on computers and printers and on and on and on, you reckon it might work when you pray? It will work. I know this is how Jesus functioned. This is how Jesus operated all the time. Now, it's okay. First, we've got to eat off Daddy's table ourselves. We've got to learn to eat. But see, ultimately, where we're going with this, Jesus used the same thing to feed the people. You see? First, it's faith for you. Then it's faith for your child. Then it's faith for your friend. Then it's, we're going to go on from there, okay? But at this Christmas time, again, I would like to encourage you. Do this. Do what my friend did. Start practicing again. We're not going to succeed in our endeavors without real faith. And if you haven't ever done this, if you haven't seen much answered prayer like this, I would encourage you to practice. Pick something. But I recommend you do that, you know. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Now, see, the thing of it is, I'm looking around the room. I know most of you. I love you. We spent time together, some of us, you know. And I know you're looking at me like, okay. And I just wonder, how many of you are going to do it? Well, you'll actually take out a piece of paper, pray, date it, sign it, receive it, and confess it until you see it. I sure would hope all of you. I'm going to do it again. When I was here in LaRue, I was feeling a little bit of repentance. Because, you know, you can let things slip. And I'm going, gosh, I don't even remember the last time I did this, you know. It was real easy to do it when we had nothing. But once the bills are paid and, you know, you're kind of coasting along and you kind of let certain things. And I'm going, dear God, I could be believing stuff for other people. I need to have my faith out there. See? So I would recommend start practicing. Just pick something easy. And then write it all down. Keep on the back side of those papers. I would write down how it came, when it came, what all the circumstances were, and that became testimonies later that I use in the teaching. You'll do the same thing. You'll share it with people. All right, you got it? Where do you receive when you pray? In your heart, in your domain. You have a kingdom. Let's start exercising dominion there. Amen. Oh, I forgot to tell you. They prayed that on a Thursday night, LaRue and them did. Friday night, somebody walked in the sanctuary with a $10,000 check. They hadn't seen a $10,000 check. We've been in a recession, you know. Of course, it's for church, you know. But they hadn't seen a $10,000 check in years. He said, it's been years since we saw one of those. So, praise God. Now, what do you think about prayer now? No. Said, I'm going to get this tape and hear it again, my brother. Now, just so you'll know, because I don't want to start getting off into greed. We're not going to start using $10,000 hooks. They needed the money. They were behind on payroll. This was like the fourth or fifth of the month. And their people get paid on the 15th and the 1st, and they hadn't even been paid on the 15th. Now the first had come. So this was not like, we just need $10,000 to go spend on a vacation. They needed the money. You got that? It was a kingdom thing. But learning the basics, and actually not so much learning, but dusting them off, doing them again like those early days. And you know what? Faith still works. God still answers prayer. And it didn't take him long to do it, but he can't do it outside of his word. He can't do it some other way. Amen. Amen.